But let's start with that WA second 11 game where Western Australia quite comfortably accounted for Tasmania. Joel Parris was influential with the ball, took 5 wickets in the first innings. Then a couple of double centuries helped the course from Hilton Cartwright and also Jake Carter. And then a couple of wickets as well for Joel Parris in the second innings of the game as well meant that it finished in 3 days and they didn't have to come back today. And Joel's been good enough to join us on the show now. Good morning, Joel. Thanks for your time.
Morning, Jack. How you going, mate?
Yeah, good. Nice to finish a game a day before it's meant to finish, which means it gives you a day off. How nice is that? Good feeling, I'm guessing.
Yeah, certainly right. It's always nice to finish a game inside 3 days. And as you said, yeah, it means we've got the day off today to enjoy the sun and chill out a bit.
Did you get the best of the conditions across the 3 days? I mean, Tassie batted first. You obviously got onto a bit of a roll on the first day. Just tell us how you thought the conditions played out on the first day and did it really flatten out in the second when WA got majority of the time to bat?
Yeah, it was an interesting one. I think in the lead up to the game, obviously the game was at Brecklow Park, home of Mount Lawley Cricket. There hadn't been a second 11 game there, I don't think, in the history. I certainly hadn't played there. I think the last game I played there would have been a Colts final 5 or 6 years ago. So, you know, it's generally been quite a flat, slow wicket in the past when guys have played there in two-day grey cricket. So, yeah, there was a bit of apprehension and uncertainty as to how it would play over 4 days. And Sammy Wyman, the captain, he wasn't sure what he was going to do even at the toss. So it was probably a good result that we lost the toss and they decided to bat, but I think we did probably get the better of the conditions. It was a little bit of seam movement for the first couple of hours, and then it just really turned into a really good cricket wicket. The carry throughout the whole 3 days was brilliant, and it's probably has been as good a second 11 wicket as I've played on, I think, which is a great result. Great result for us, and I think the 2 hours in the morning on day one was certainly probably more bowler-friendly than batter-friendly.
Yes, no doubt about that. And for yourself, I mean, did you feel as if you were in some... Or when did you find yourself into some good rhythm after returning, obviously, from a bit of an injury stint again? But did you feel as if you worked your way into it?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I've had probably 3 or 4 weeks, throughout the nets and... working on a couple of things. I've shortened my run up a little bit. So, you know, your first outing in a game, it's always, a little bit tricky to see how you go from a rhythm perspective. I mean, that was sort of one of the goals that I wanted to really nail down and achieve over the game was to find myself back into some nice rhythm. Luckily enough, I was able to find that fairly quickly. That normally for me, if the ball's coming out pretty well, it sort of swings nicely, and it did for most of the game, which is a real positive. To get through, almost 30 overs over the 3 days was great for me, and I really enjoyed the return.
Did you have no restrictions on your bowling load, or was it just a free run?
Yeah, free run, mate. I've done a fair bit of work in the nets over the last month to get me in a situation where I could go into the game and not have any restrictions, which is always nice. It's always nice for the team knowing that, whenever you're required to bowl, you can bowl and not have to worry about restrictions and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, look, it worked out perfectly, to be honest. We bowled 15 overs. Obviously the first day, had a couple of days of recovery and rest up while I watched Jake and Hilton put on a clinic, and then, obviously got back into it on day three.
Talk us through the latest injury that you had. Just tell us what it was and how annoying it was too.
Yeah, look, very, very frustrating. It was a hamstring injury. I'd never done a hammy before, which was bizarre. It sort of came out of the blue, so I can probably tick that one off the list. There's not many that I've got to tick off left, but it was a little hamstring that happened in the Shield game. I've spoken to the S&Cs and the physios a little bit about, potentially why that could have come up. The GPS data that we get from the games and go through at the end of each game, a run-up speed over that spell that I was bowling and I did get injured was my running speed was a lot higher than what it normally is. And then obviously over the over the 2 days of carrying a bit of fatigue into that, that potentially might have caused the hammy to not like it too much. But having said that, it was a really, really, easy for me and quite a simple rehab process. It responded really well to all the exercises and the work that I'd done. And, I'm just obviously really happy to be back and playing some cricket.
So you obviously weren't conscious of that fact at the time, that your run-up speed was a lot quicker than usual?
No, well, I wasn't while the spell was going on. Obviously, you have a couple of days to recover and ice and gather your thoughts and everything, and then I sort of worked through with Warren Andrews, S&C, and Nick Jones, physio, and sort of went through those GPS data, and we looked at sort of my run-up speed over the first couple of days and then sort of comparing that to my run-up speed in the third day when I did get injured, and there was quite a bit of an increase, sort of getting up to about 26 k's an hour, which, you work that over 30 overs worth, and you tend to probably get into a zone where you're going to put yourself in danger of having a little niggle, and, unfortunately that's what happened. But, look, it's a really good learning curve for me. When you're in the middle of a game and in the middle of the contest, sometimes you don't really think about those things, but certainly going forward, it'll be something sort of in the back of my mind just to, stay in control of what I'm trying to do. And I think from a technology point of view, where we're trying to get to is have some live feedback. So we've got a guy who's in charge of all the GPS data at the moment, and what we want to try and get to is have some live feedback so that if someone does creep up into a zone that's potentially could be a bit dangerous, then we can get some feedback straight away and tell everyone to just calm down a bit.
Joel Parris is with us this morning from the WA Men's Cricket Team. So how far away do you think you are from that point to having that real-life game-time feedback?
Yeah, look, I don't think it's very far. I know from an AFL perspective they've got that in there already. Yeah. The people that are in control of that, there's a lot more from an AFL perspective. Cricket's probably still trying to work out the best way of going about it. Look, I don't think it's very far. I think the sort of the progress from a GPS data and cricket perspective over the last sort of 12 months has been terrific. And I think that's only going to get better over the next, year to 2 years.
You mentioned you've shortened your run-up, so what have you come back down to? And was that purely just off the back of the hamstring, or was that something that you'd been considering for a while?
Yeah, I've sort of, from a total run-up distance perspective, it's sort of around from starting to run into follow through about 30 metres, and I've brought that into about 20 metres, so it's 10 less metres that I've got to cover a ball. And like I said, if you sort of work that up over, a 30 over game, you're going to put a significant less amount of stress on your body. The one thing that we weren't sure about is how the ball would come out over a shorter yeah. run up and pace and everything. But look, I was really happy with how it went. And speaking to the guys who were behind the wickets and the keeper and the slips, they sort of said that it sort of came out as good as we've seen over the last 12 months from my perspective. So, look, I was really happy. It was a good way to come back.
Yeah, that's exciting. That was my next question as well, whether it obviously affects your pace and that, but obviously it hasn't. So that's exciting. You had Aaron Hardy open the bowling with you. What was the feedback like from the way that he bowled across the couple of innings, Joel?
Yeah, look, I think Aaron's going to be a beauty. We know exactly internally what he's capable of. Obviously, last year he made his Shield debut in Red Ball cricket and bowled terrifically. I think he took four wickets on his debut. He's a super, super talent. He's still very young, learning his trade. And obviously, he's a gun with a bat as well. So I'd imagine over the next couple of years, we'll be seeing a lot more of Aaron in Shield cricket and in one day cricket for WA, and he did a terrific job throughout the game for us. He bowled into the breeze for a lot of it, which is a really, really tough job. There was quite a strong breeze throughout the game, and internally we know that that kind of stuff doesn't go unnoticed, and it means that the guys from the other end can really attack and put a lot of pressure on the on the batters as well. So he did a terrific job.
And you mentioned the clinic that Hilton Cartwright and Jake Carter put on with the bat. Did they provide any opportunity to be dismissed? It just seems as if when you double 100 like that, both batsmen, that they're just seeing it as big as beach balls and they don't give an opportunity to the fielding side.
Yeah, look, we kind of were talking about it on the morning of day three when they were still batting, and I don't think we saw them play a miss up until they were about 180. So,
wow.
Look, it was an amazing innings from both of them. What I will say is they were both incredibly hungry going into the game. Obviously, Hilton had missed out on the Shield game in Sydney and looked really good in the one-day game against the Sackers, and got to 40 and hit one down fine leg. So I know he was really, really hungry to bat for a long period of time. I think going into the game, he just wanted to bat as long as he could. And we know with Hilton, with his power and how good he is at timing the ball, that if he batted for a long period of time, he was going to have a fair bit of runs under the board as well. So he was fantastic, and to see Jake improve so much this year, especially at a second 11 perspective, has been brilliant. Any day that someone makes 200, it's a really, really good effort. To just stay mentally switched on for that amount of time is brilliant. So, look, it was great to see. We've got to make sure that, when we have those days, we really enjoy it, because there's also some days when you're on the other foot of that and you're out in the ground for 2.5 days fielding. So, it was really good. They set up the game brilliantly and allowed the quicks to rest up and then obviously do the damage that we all were able to do in the second innings.
How testament is it to Ashton Turner and to Hilton Cartwright to jump off that plane from Adelaide on Monday morning and come straight to Breckler Park to play the 3 days? It just testament to, I suppose, the want to improve their personal games and set themselves up for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think it sums up sort of where we're at from a personality perspective in the group. No one gets too far ahead of themselves. They know AT, for example, obviously didn't have a great game in Sydney. He knows that he needs to spend a bit of time out in the middle, and it was fantastic to see him jump off the plane and get straight into it, chuck on the whites, and he actually ran drinks for the first hour for us. And obviously Hilton to do the same, to jump off a plane and to perform the way that he did was just fantastic to see, and I'm bloody pumped for both of them.
Yeah, no, some big runs there during the week, no doubt about that. Do you put your hand up for selection for the South Australian game starting at the Wacker next Friday?
Yeah, absolutely. Good to go now. The one-day side heads off to Queensland on Sunday, so I certainly put my name up for that as well. Whatever way that goes, we're not sure. I think we find out the squad maybe later today or tomorrow. So whatever way that falls, it'll be what it'll be. And if I'm not travelling to Brisbane in the one day side, I'll certainly be looking to be ready to go for next Friday against Adelaide in Perth.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, that one day final is a bit of out of sight, out of mind for me. I completely forgot about that. So yeah, that's a big occasion, obviously, for WA on Tuesday, playing up there against Queensland. So, and you would have thought it'd be a pretty strong team, as you mentioned too. So that'll be exciting to participate. And WA in white ball cricket generally over the last few years have been really strong. I mean, what have you thought of the way that the WA side have played their one day, their white ball cricket? What's been the most pleasing aspects that have got WA to the final?
Oh, look, I think it's just been the 50-50 games, the 50-50 moments. Sometimes in the past we've come off on the losing side of that, but it's been really exciting and really good to see that those, close games, I guess, that we've come out on top. And that's been a big change, I guess, for us over the last 4 or 5 years. As I said, we normally, a lot of the time, have come out with a loss, but yeah, to win those close games, it really shows that the group's maturing, and heading in a really positive direction. And as you said, to be in another final in white ball cricket is fantastic. We obviously bowled out in the semi-final last year, after a fantastic start. And the boys are really hungry to go one better and make sure we get another silverware back to WA. So, we're really pumped. Obviously, from a personnel perspective, to have Colts available for the whole time. He's a world-class bowler. I think everyone knows how good he is. To have him available, how he performed last game in South Australia was terrific as a senior player, and he's pretty pumped to get over in Queensland and do the same again. And yeah, to have guys like Sean Marsh and Ashton Turner, Marcus Stoinis, Josh Phillippe, I've probably missed two or three there, but there's a lot of guys that are going to be around for a few more years, and it's really exciting time for Wyball Cricket and WA that's performing the way we are.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We're looking forward to the Tuesday and then obviously the Shield that starts next Friday. What happens today? Feet up, watch the cricket for a bit?
Yeah, look, I think so. I'm actually just about to catch up for a coffee with Matt Kelly and Mitch Marsh and have a bit of breakfast and chew the fat for a little bit, and then I'd say it'll be fairly quiet and sit on the couch and watch the Test match.
Good on you, mate. Well bowled during the week for WA. Hopefully you're in that final team for Tuesday, and hopefully we'll see you at the Wacker next Friday. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it, mate. Thank you.